Okay, if there's no further discussion, we'll go on to the next item on the agenda. Lydia, we want to hear from you about the sale of the building in Houston, and if there's anything new about the EIDL loan.
Okay, let me do the EIDL loan first.
Okay.
Okay, so as I reported before, that they said that the SBA said that they needed that we could send in a transcript that we could obtain from the IRS to accompany our next loan application, and it would need to coincide with our amended 990, because apparently what we sent in, it was amended, but it didn't match the transcript. Tamara thinks that she sent fiscal rather that she sent the calendar rather than, no, the opposite. She sent fiscal rather than calendar. Anyway, and she thinks that's the issue, but that's unclear. We have to look at the transcript and see what the SBA got in order for us to try to match it. Well, anyway, Tamara spent about an hour and a half on hold with the IRS. I spent about five today, but on different issues that I needed to address with them, which I'll get into. But anyway, so Anita, then I gave her the number of the person I spoke to at SBA, and I also sent them the link to the actual form where you request the transcript, because we've been unable to get through to them on the phone. I think if worse comes to worse, that we go with Tamara's guess that it was just the error, and then if she sends in the calendar the calendar year accounting, but it will, in other words, you know, with our fiscal it overlaps, then it would be able to match, and that would only be a guess. But we all have to do this before the end of the year. We're here already. And we have been unable to get through to them. So Anita and Tamara are working on this, obviously, because we have to get the EIDL. But I do think, unless someone objects, I do think that I'm going to ask them to go ahead and try to apply again if we haven't received this transcript, and go by what Tamara believes was her mistaken interpretation, where she sent in the wrong 990 or didn't send the additional one. Anyway, so unless anybody objects, I just really worry about running out of time and trying to wait on the IRS. That's one. The other thing is that there was a lot of fraud that has taken place. We got a slew of checks written against our checking account. And this, I have not heard back from Anita on this. I need to hear back from NETA. The reason is that it was very specific. It had as the return, it was checks that I do not believe we issue checks with this address. I'm still waiting to hear from an answer from NETA on this. And it had as the return address, instead of 3729 Cahuenga Boulevard West, it has our P.O. box in Los Angeles, which I only use for our sideband checks for Radio Maria and for Punjabi. There's recently NETA started issuing invoices to both with the P.O. box as a return. So not checks, but an invoice. It has my signature that I gave to NETA, my electronic signature on these checks, and these are all like being cashed back east. And so it's so specific that I think they can look to the security of whatever computer is generating those invoices with that PO box. And that if that same computer contains my electronic signature, then obviously there are some security breaches. NETA works primarily remotely, and they go into the office, at least for Pacifica, they go in on Wednesdays to cut checks. But there are no checks being written on anything with the P.O. box that I know of. So I'm going to hope that there's a security check on this. It was just slews and slews of checks. We are going to go to something, I can't remember what it's called. It's something where we generate we're arranging this with Bank of America, where we send them the list of checks that we have cut. So if it's not on that list, they don't put it through. And there's a charge to it, but NETA believes that closing down our national operating account would be prohibitive and chaotic. So we'll see how that goes. But again, this should be, in my opinion, it should be kind of easy to at least locate how it happened, because it was so narrow. There's only two, and the two SBAs would not have my signature. We don't send them checks. So it had to be that their server or their computer was compromised, whichever one was used. So that's that. The other thing is that I still have that letter from the IRS saying that our office address was changed to the building we sold in 2018. All of this is Paylocity. And so I am going to request a motion. I will first write a directive, something to NETA, saying I've said it to them verbally, but to Sarah, because they've dealt with Paylocity, who refuses to acknowledge the change of address to Los Angeles, and just say that we're going to change vendors if they don't do this. Now I can't get through. I used to be able to wait for hours, but eventually get through to them. Now I wait 5 hours, and then they say, oh, sorry, you'll have to call back another day, is what their recording says. This happened to me two or three times already in the past week. So I may need a national board motion in order to get Paylocity to conform. This is ridiculous. So our auditor sends in the tax forms with the correct address. So even though I made the change of address and I keep correcting it, as soon as they send in their quarterly tax form, Paylocity does, then they change it back to a fraudulent address. It's Pacifica hasn't been there since 2018 over my signature. I'm also taking this very personally. But anyway, so those are the things. So if they don't do something, then I'm going to ask the board to. That's the end of my report.
Okay, thank you. Ron?
I'll leave the stack. I haven't been in quite a while.
Am I supposed to be opining first about the Houston now?
Yes, yes. Okay. That was on the agenda.
Yeah, okay. I think we should. Okay.
So with Houston, of course, the motion was passed unanimously, and as I said at some point on the call, as I recall, that I was immediately going to then sign it, and then I was going to include it in my holiday appeal, not the name, of course, just that we had accepted the offer, as I informed the board. So I did, of course, sign the document that I sent the board, and that was passed unanimously. The other offer that was less, which I had sent to the board before that, and no one said, of course, to move on that, first of all, the offer that we approved, they knew we had previously approved another offer. Like when they sent their offer in, the realtor had already said, you know, we accepted another offer, right? But, I mean, they still had submitted their offer at asking. The one that was below the offer that backed out is the one that obviously they could have done the same thing and just gone for asking. And we may still, you know, we're not saying we won't consider you. It's just which is the truth of the matter, that we accepted the other offer. and they could still be there. I purposely did not move to have a vote to not accept that second offer. So then the other issue, and this one I'm working with Arthur and Robert Franklin on, and we don't want this one to be made public, but there is someone who is offering to, we believe what it is based on his email and the conversations, it's a lease to buy. So this person became aware that KPFT doesn't have a station, and so he offered to buy one, which of our choice, a building of our choice, and then that we would lease it. The problem is the FJC arrangement, because FJC wants to have KPFT as collateral. And the only stipulation from this person is that it not be used, that what he is going to fund, he will not fund the build-out of it. So theoretically, we could negotiate with FJC to keep enough for the build-out, but it complicates what we've already discussed with FJC, and there would be a lot to work out. And I say that because the gentleman is 95. And so some of the things that we have, that I discussed with Arthur that he looked up is like joint tenancy or something, because I'm going through with Alex, you know, you met Eris, and when he passed in 2018, that estate is still in probate and everybody's fighting for his money. So we'd have to be really, really careful that it's not just left to us in a will, that it would be an airtight kind of a joint ownership if he were to pass. He is, as I said, 95 years old. So we have these backup situations in case something were to go awry with the offer that we took that is going to close January 6th, as I recall, and which is the best case. It's cash, and it's soon. We don't have to wait for several months. And Lyndon had even written us that he knew of this developer. But anyway, that's my report.
Okay, the floor is open.
Ali to the center.
James.
I think I heard Ron before. Ron, did you want to speak?
Yes, sir. All right, that check situation. I guess I can't say enough about, you know, got to get that under control, you know, right away. And my question was going to be: is there some way to freeze that account to protect it? And I would imagine you've already explored that. Can you give us any detail about that? But
yeah, NETA is very much against that. We have too many. It's not automatic payments, but too many electronic payments that are contingent on that now. And they, again, they're still working remotely, so I don't think that they can assume. I've gone through this like several times with my former employer. when he would close an account, oh my God, it would be a disaster each time. But nevertheless, B of A has been really great, but I want to see if something was going on before this. This process of sending invoices was not at my request, and it's only been recently that they have been sending out those invoices with the P.O. box. And so I still think, because it's so limited in scope in terms of that, you know, the P.O. box and my signature, that it can be identified in some way, and it will stop. The B of A hasn't let any checks through.
Follow up, Mr. Chair, just one quick follow-up. In terms of amounts, I mean, you know, are we talking $100, $10, $50, or thousands of dollars?
Both, but they both and all different amounts, different names of people. Boston, Massachusetts. It's all been East Coast, but
We're being hustled. Big time.
Yeah, but we haven't lost a cent. Okay. So
why is that? I can't explain that.
Because Bank of America has caught it.
Thank you. There we go. Okay. That's what I want to hear.
Yeah, yeah. What I want to make sure is, yeah, I want to go back to when we started doing the invoices and make sure that they caught anything else. But we reconcile our bank statements, so I don't think anything happened before this. So that's when you catch these things, usually, is when you reconcile your bank statements and you can see the copies of the checks. But nevertheless, so what happens is we get these, they have, via Bank of America sends you a secure link that you log into, that Tamara and I log into. And, you know, did you write this check? And you can immediately see that we don't write those kinds of checks, right, yeah, with a P.O. box on it. There are, and the board should notice, there are only two people that have keys to the P.O. box, and that's myself and Grace Aaron, because we both live close to it. And we try, the reason we don't have all of the mail going there is because there weren't any large boxes available. We got like a medium box. And so we were unable, you know, all the mail goes to KPFK in general, but for the sidebands, since those are large checks, we have them going there, or sometimes for a refund or something. But I've only done that once, so I think it's very specific. But B of A caught all of them.
Chad, long as he's recognition to extend time.
It's after midnight. I don't think we want to extend time for very long. They'll take
just to exhaust the stack. Yeah.
All right, to exhaust the stack is fine. Are there any objections? Okay. I think Ali was next.
Yeah, basically following up on what Ron said. Lydia, I don't know if you know about this. About 2.5 years ago, a fraudulent bill came through email spoofing, and Nita paid out, I think it was almost $10,000 on a fraud on that. I was wondering, this was before you were IED, but they used email spoofing to get to pose as a vendor that we had used in the past and get checks cut. I was wondering, in this current fraud campaign, how many checks have you guys caught? And as Ron was asking, what the total amount or potential total amount is?
I didn't catch it because it doesn't come through on email. I can't answer it right now, but I'm sure. I didn't think to, to take a shot of it. But I'll ask Tamara. But it went on for about 3 or 4 days where we were getting 3 and 4 checks. Wow. So it's about, like a dozen checks. And, but it's so unique. It's that whole, as I already explained, so I won't repeat it. So I think we can, narrow it down, but I know that they have, that NETA has security, situations in place with their computers, but I don't know if those have been extended to, let's say, a home computer because they are working remotely. I mean, I'm sure they would for Tamara or whatever, but they do have a staff, right? And if the staff has all of their home computers, secure. Because I know at KPFK, Jonathan Alexander, one time I donated a brand new computer. I bought one specifically for something upstairs. I can't remember why. And Jonathan said, oh, no, it can't be that because it has to be this, this, and this, and I have to secure it with blah, blah, blah. And so so I'm sure they have something, but I do need them to make sure that we get an investigative report on how this could have happened.
Okay. James?
Yeah, quickly, Lydia. 3 questions. You mentioned the computer or server was compromised. Was that an SBA computer, or whose computer was that that you thought might have been compromised?
NETA.
Okay, thank you. Second, The second offer, the guy on Friday the 12th who was calling and trying to find out what was going on, is that's only still an option if the offer we accepted falls through before the closing for some reason?
Correct. And our realtor was going to call him. He wanted to call him last Friday, as a matter of fact, and I was waiting for the certified motion that we had passed and whatever, and then he did call him.
Got it. So that's a done deal. That's okay.
And I was very specific that you don't say, you know, we didn't take, I told the realtor, we did not take a motion to turn down that other offer.
I saw that,
Yeah. So there you go.
Thank you. And finally, FJC, there was some talk about maybe FJC would let us out of collateralizing the new KPFT site, wherever it ends up being. What happened to that? That's just, they decided not to do it. They think, you know, they still want to have the security for the loan.
Yeah, and Arthur can speak to this, but that was just something I was hoping for. And so, I mean, obviously, let's say that the person that I mentioned that wants to do this lease to buy, that he just outright, because he says, his words were, I want to buy KPFT the station, but then he talks about leasing it. So, if we had something airtight that he leaves us the station or he gives us the station or something, then the board can consider whether they want to pay a larger portion of the proceeds from the sale to FJC to almost equate the value of the property. I mean, stuff like that. It just starts to get really complicated. So the cleanest thing is hopefully this 1.2 offer comes through, but it's very important to know that we have this other offer and that we have such a generous donor, the well-known artist, I understand. But anyway, so we have potentially two fallbacks on this should it not happen, but it's going to happen soon.
Okay, before we forget, Lydia, you said you needed a motion from the board on the EIDL loan?
No. I'm going to need a motion from the board on the checks that are being generated by Paylocity. Show the old building in Berkeley and that their tax forms keep changing our address. So if EIDL checks with the IRS, it's going to have the wrong address on it, and then it gets complicated and bounces around, and now I can't get through to the IRS. So there you go.
I think we need a suggested wording for that, Chair.
To threaten Paylocity, you know, either put in the right address or we go to paychecks or something.
Well, let me ask you, how disruptive or not would it be to get somebody else in there besides Paylocity?
I think it would be terribly disruptive, but we don't have a choice. We could lose potentially the EIDL loan and all kinds of things, right? Mm-hmm. Every time you do a grant and they check to see if you're for real and, oh, no, you're not in LA, you're in Berkeley, and this is not your address. They mailed something there. We don't have forwarding anymore because the forwarding doesn't last this long. So, it's been a nightmare for 2 years. But what I'm going to try, my other thing that I'm going to try is contacting a local Paylocity here in Los Angeles and see if we can just get rid of, because it's not just their payroll person, it's their manager. Sarah tried to go up to the management level, but it's like, I think they're in Texas. So I'm going to try, I saw a Los Angeles address here for, you know, somebody. So I'm going to see if I can go higher than that, because this is outrageous. They're just being stupid.
Polina, okay. To the stack, please.
Okay, we need a motion. Polina, go ahead.
Lydia, we're using Paylocity with NETA, right? So they are the ones who use it and brought it into us. So can you explain?
No, they didn't bring it into us. We changed it before.
Oh, I see.
Before NETA. However, I only caught it by happenstance when the IRS said we changed our address and the IRS tells me that it's Paylocity is the problem. and then NETA try to follow through unsuccessfully. And so I'm going to try one more time that they should verbally threaten them, and then I'll send them a letter or send NETA a letter or something. And then I'm going to need a motion from the board.
Thank you.
If they don't move.
Okay, so is this a motion you want right now, or do you want to wait?
No, I can wait because I want to see if they can do this. It's really disruptive to change.
Okay.
My thing is, I don't know how to get in touch now with the IRS. there you go. Okay, but I'll try again tomorrow. Okay.
I think we're done.
Okay. We need a report out. I've got it.
Report out. You got wording?
Yeah. How about this? The PMB met in closed session to discuss proprietary business and legal matters of a confidential nature.
Sounds good to me. Anybody?
There's one more item we forgot, Mr. Chair.
Oh, yes, yes. I'm sorry. The contract for the parliamentarian. I brought this up a while back. There was some questions as to what the original contract was. John produced a copy of the original contract. I also confirmed with Nancy Sorden that those were the terms. It was basically it was a retainer for $600 a month with a limit. What was it? No more than seven meetings a month or something like that. Is that correct, Mr. Tatum?
Yes, it is.
And Mr. Tatum is asking to change that to be a service of $200 per meeting. And I just wanted you at this point just to verify those facts, and you may excuse yourself from the rest of that discussion.
Okay. Yeah, okay. Those facts are accurate. The new contract would be $200 per meeting. It almost turns out to be the same thing because the retainer was $600 a month, and you have about, sometimes you have four meetings, $200 a meeting would come up to $800. So the difference between the new and the old is about $200, going from $600 a month to $800 a month. And what would be also counted is the regular meetings, special meetings, and executive session meetings. If they're all in the same night, that would count as one meeting for the $200.
Got it. Thank you for clarifying.
I have a question before John Tatum leaves. So does this mean we have the retainer plus $200 a meeting? I mean, I realize it's $200 a meeting, as you explained, then it would be $800. But do you still want us to keep the retainer language in there?
Yeah, the language stays in, yes.
Okay, thank you.
So if you're ready for me to excuse myself, unless there are any other questions.
Mr. Chair?
Yes?
He's asking if he can excuse himself.
I just want to clarify that. You want, when you say you want the retainer kept in there, are you asking for the $600 plus $200 per meeting?
No, I thought Lydia was talking about details. The details,
it's like your lawyer.
Stay. The details would stay, and it would be the difference between $600 a month and $800 a month.
Okay, we got it. Okay, you may be excused.
Thank you. Good night, everyone.
Good night. All right, so we have, I sent a copy of the contract, and does anybody have any questions about any of it?
I just have a 15-second comment. Chris. Yeah, thanks. Yeah. I think that I'm willing to accept this as long as we can make a dedicated effort to not meet more than three times a month. I mean, I think we're generally doing that, but it would be really nice if we could kind of commit ourselves to it, because it's really difficult doing this every single week. We've been through several stretches that were like that, and I just don't want to return to that if we can avoid it. I realize that there are emergencies and that will have to be exceptions to that. I'm just asking that we make an effort to honor that.
I agree completely.
You know I do.
We have a financial incentive.
Do you think I enjoy this?
Oh, no, of course not. Of course not. That's not why I'm suggesting it. I'm just putting it out.
Yeah.
Okay.
Chad, this is Lawrence.
I have a question.
Hold on. Okay, I heard Lawrence first. Go ahead, Lawrence.
No, I'll yield to my colleague from KPFK. Go ahead, Ali. I'll go after you.
Would the new contract have the updated address? I noticed this contract has the Berkeley address on it.
Oh, it better have the updated address.
So I just wanted to make a comment. I think it's a way of us also being conscientious about the amount of times that we meet. And also it helps us tying our belt too, since we're asking everybody else to tie theirs. Thank you.
Well, it also means that if some directors wish to call a special meeting, they should really think it through. Okay. Just because you have the right to call a special meeting doesn't always mean that you should call a special meeting. It may be better to wait for a regular meeting, or it may, you know, or perhaps you can get your agenda combined with another agenda, some other special, whatever. I think, you know, we should be more conscientious about the proliferation of meetings.
Oh, that's and what I'm saying, Gerald.
And I count myself as one of the guilty parties as well. So, okay, are there any objections to accepting this new contract? I'll ask Mr. Tatum to put in the new address into the contract, so everything's hunky dory in that. Does anybody object to this? Okay. So that's done. Now we really need to do the report out.
I added a new word to it. The PNB met in closed session to discuss proprietary business, contractual, and legal matters of a confidential nature.
Okay. Man, Chris, you are good, man.
I'm tired is what I am. I am tired.
I agree. Okay. You are.
So we have a report out. There's no objections, right? Okay. Do we have a motion to adjourn?
James, so moved.
I'm seconding that.
Okay.
Oh, people on the West Coast.
We're not holding a meeting next week, and we probably will not hold a meeting on Thanksgiving or Indigenous Peoples Day. So we may not see each other again until the regular meeting in December. So good night, everybody, and have a good
night.
Have a good holiday.
By the way,
night.
The East Coast people that stay up late, but the West Coast people haven't had their dinner. So think about that.
Hey, I haven't had my dinner either.
Have a nice dinner.
I ate mine during the evening.
Ciao. I'm going to the beach for tacos.
Good night.
Puerto Rico?
Good night.
Go to the beach.